Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of Brains Bite Back. I'm Eric Espinosa, your host for today, and I'm excited to be here joining you all for the first time as one of the newest members of the Sociable family. And if you're joining us for the first time, we're happy to have you. Here at Brains Bite Back, we explore how knowledge and technology intersect to build a better and more sustainable future by speaking with the thought leaders leading the way. And on today's episode, we sit down with Stuart Metches, the creative director at Content, a new subscription-based platform working to transform the creator economy. We talk about how the platform is evening out the playing field, the key differences between influencers and content creators, and some plans underway in providing more resources to their creators looking to grow.
I'm Stuart, I'm CCO of the company, and the what Content does effectively, it's a cutting edge subscription-based platform. Effectively, it's designed from the ground up to disrupt the creator economy, which as far as we're concerned, a lot of other people are concerned, is broken and needs fixing. So we do that through multiple different ways, including empowering creators, that's at the core of what we do, and also multiple revenue streams and lots of different avenues through which we ensure that creators are able to pull themselves up properly with full support.
Amazing, Stuart. Thank you. I want to start off by thanking you for joining us on this episode of Brains Bite Back. I think you joined us at a perfect time. There's a lot of conversation surrounding content creators and specifically one social media platform, but I want to get into that a little bit later. I want to start off by talking a little bit about your background. I think it's very interesting in terms of how you became the creative director of Content. Yeah, you started off kind of like with a 9-to-5 job, but like your creative bone kind of led you down a different path. You want to talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, of course. So I kind of did the whole rat race, as we call it over here. Kind of I was working down in London, done that for many years. I was in a sales job for many years. I kind of enjoyed it. It was great. It served a purpose, but I've always been a creative, so a content creator, effectively. And during the recession of 2008, there was a showroom that I ran. I used to work for a high profile company called Bang & Olufsen. I was the sales manager down in Knightsbridge of their flagship store. And there was no one coming in to the showroom because it was, the height of the recession and no one had that kind of money to spend. So I had made the decision that I was going to write a book. And before I even knew what was happening, I'd written 5 chapters of this book. And I got very fortunate after that. I actually quit my job a few weeks later because it was kind of a eureka moment for me. I thought, this is what I want to do. Like, this is it. This is the dream. I want to be in content creation. I want to kind of help other creators. This is it. This is where I want to be. So I quit my job and I went back to college and university. And while I was there, I was very fortunate that I got one of my books published. And I kind of went on from there. So I'm now at the stage where I'm very blessed to have 6 books out in the world, and I'm working on 7th now. But what I realized is that I can't always write creatively all the time, right? You don't always have that in you. Sometimes you have to kind of take a step back and look at other things as well. So what I wanted to do was to see whether my skills would be transferable into other avenues of writing effectively. And it turns out that they were. So I worked with numerous companies around the world. I've been very fortunate to work with some great companies. And that kind of directed me over the years into the tech space and specifically into Web3. And that was where I discovered Content. It was actually when it was based predominantly on Telegram rather than on Discord, which is where its community is based now. And I got chatting to the guys and I kind of was quite curious about what it was, obviously being a content creator effectively myself, what they were offering people. And I'm very aware how broken the system is and I've had my own experiences with that. They were super open and welcoming and we got chatting and then I ended up writing an article for them. And it just kind of went on from there, really. And then now here we are.
Yeah, and I thought it was pretty interesting because I was reading that the platform initially was kind of geared towards musicians, that were releasing music, mm-hmm. like a way for them to interact with fans and receive royalties. But you guys kind of discovered that there was, exploitation elsewhere in terms of artists.
Absolutely. It's across the board. Yeah. I mean, so the kind of the origin story effectively for Eli, who's the CEO of the company, he's based in Montreal in Canada, and he's very connected with the music scene over there. And unlike, for example, in the US or over here in the UK, there's a huge disparity between artists that earn basically nothing and those that earn a large amount of money. And there doesn't seem to be much middle ground. So there's a large amount of exploitation that happens over there in terms of, bad deals, bad contracts, and this kind of thing, and nowhere that really was protecting music artists. So that was how it kind of started effectively. But then very quickly it became apparent that these kind of injustices, let's say, were happening, across the board in all different forms of content creation, that wherever there was a content creator, with a dream and trying to make it big, there was always someone waiting to exploit them, whether that be an individual or companies, across across the whole kind of gamut, really. And that's where we realized, hold on a minute, yeah, this could be applicable to a range of content creators, and thus content in its current form was born.
I'm sure you'd agree. I guess historically, artists have always kind of been exploited when it comes to their art forms. And I feel like content creation is just a new form of art, right? And I feel like it's kind of trickled down. And there's a lot of people, I guess, that argue that maybe content creation shouldn't be a job. Maybe like maybe I would say more of the boomer generation, right? If anything. But what do you think? What are the barriers that they're facing specifically on these social media platforms that are allowing them to actually, make success, gain a living from it?
Absolutely. So I think first of all, with when it comes to content creation, I think it's very clear to say here that we're talking two different things when we talk about influencers and we talk about content creation. One is hype chasing, effectively. And I'm not saying that there is no place for influencers. There absolutely is. However, I think we can all agree that there's been a bit of a backlash against it, because there was a period of time where influencers were kind of not really offering much, and they were just kind of selling to the highest bidder to promote products or what have you. So we are talking very much about content creation in terms of people who have a skill that they want to share with the world, right? Music, video creation, storytelling, whatever that is, right? So just to be clear on that one. And then I think that what's happened is, when you have these platforms, they act as judge, jury, and executioner, right? So what happens is that someone may be building an entire company effectively through, through their own brand, their own personality on a particular platform, but they don't realize that effectively they're building it somewhat on sand, because at any moment like that, the company can turn around and say, you've broken an arbitrary rule, you're deplatformed, or you're demonetized, or, some form of overreach, or we don't like the content that you're creating. We don't think it falls into fair use, for example, if they're sampling music, potentially something like that. And very, very quickly, someone who could have 100,000 followers or more, which forms the majority of their earnings, completely wiped out overnight. And this, we see this happening across the board. And beyond that, I think that, going more into the exploitation side in general, I think that, I don't want to name any names, but you have platforms out there that we can all agree probably don't pay as much as they should be paying for the content creator's effort and output. And you see that predominantly, with music is a key example, where people are paid a very, very small royalty for each time that their music is listened to, or, other platforms where, they're just basically, it's taken advantage of what they're producing. They're not, they can only earn if there's advert revenue. They can rack up millions of views, but it doesn't really track into, tangible sales. And just a lot of kind of exploitation that serves the pockets and bottom lines of others rather than the content creators themselves.
And I think algorithms as well play a role in, which artists get viewed on these platforms. But you guys take kind of a forward-thinking approach in terms of, your platform, and you try to make it kind of like an even playing field. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
So spotlight equality is something that we're very, very keen on, and we want to push, because what you find in general with traditional platforms is that they will, or their algorithms will naturally favor those who are already large content creators, who have already built a following, whether that be on the platform itself or migrated there from somewhere else. But what happens in that instance is that someone, for example, who has a very, incredible gift to share with the world will end up giving up, because they cannot sustain themselves. They can't afford to continue, basically. I think it's something like 68% of content creators earn less than $100 a month, right? Which is just crazy. What we do and what we champion over at Content is we have what's called equal spotlighting. So it's the algorithms work on the amount that you are effectively interacting with your fanship and being on the platform. It's proportional representation in the sense, sorry, it's proportional, sorry, in the sense of it doesn't matter if you've got 1 million followers or 1,000 followers, right? As long as you are interacting meaningfully, you have just as much chance of being featured, for example, on the homepage. Or on the genre page through which your particular niche is involved, and you could find yourself, for example, doing a stream to maybe 10 people one day, and then suddenly you're featured on the homepage just because you've been picked, an equal spotlighting, and suddenly you're streaming to 5,000 people, and that's what we champion. And the idea that the way we're designing it is that everyone will get their shot at this basically, so you are almost guaranteed to at some point be featured via us. And also we have other collaborative tools where we will help any creative, regardless of their size, again, get partnership deals, get sponsorship, so they are able to grow their brand. We don't just focus on those who are already successful, which is in our eyes a bit odd. They should of course be supported as well, but you should be supporting those that are trying to make their way in the industry. We're all about genuinely supporting creators here.
So collaboration's a big effort on your end in terms of connecting them with other artists and, other opportunities, right?
Absolutely. And just to give you a bit of a sneak peek kind of update that we haven't really shared with anyone yet, in Montreal specifically, we are doing offline assistance. So, for example, music artists over in Montreal who need recording space if they're producing a new music and have no access to that kind of equipment or space, we are working with them actively to get them into recording studios to help them produce music and album or whatever, to champion them effectively and then have it promoted on the platform. And it doesn't matter if, again, if they're a big artist, a small artist, we are giving equal opportunity to anyone. And that's just something we're doing locally. Obviously, as we grow, those kind of opportunities will become international. So there's online opportunities and offline opportunities as well in the local sphere at the moment, which will grow.
So for content creators that are kind of, listening to this podcast right now, how easy is it for them to start up, to sign up with content?
Yeah, super easy. You just head over to content.io, and that's without the E since this is audio. And you just there's a button to sign up, and it takes about 5 minutes. If they want to be a creator, they will have to verify, so they go through a very quick KYC. It takes about 24 hours to get approval. Often it's a lot quicker than that as well. Very rarely it takes longer than that, but at the moment it's a manual process, and this will obviously become automatic over time. And then yeah, pretty much like most content platforms, they have to upload a picture, have a bio about themselves, but pretty much straight away they can get going. We're currently in the beta stage, which we were so glad to, to get that out there, show our MVP to everyone, and get people kind of rolling on. And that's been fantastic so far. So yeah, it's all ready to go. And at this stage, people are jumping on there, testing out all the features and giving us some great feedback so we can continue to improve it as we go on.
How do you make the software visible, I guess, to other like content creators that are out there? Are you like reaching out to them specifically? Like, how are you guys gaining visibility in order for them to, gravitate towards content?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. So there's multiple aspects of the way that we're doing this. So first of all, we have an outreach team, sorry, and their whole purpose is to very soft introductory sort of contact, effectively, which we the main thing we want to know right now. Right, we're not just trying to onboard a ton of people right now, just to be very clear, because we're at the stage where we're building out the platform and perfecting the platform. But what we're saying is we're starting to engage in really healthy conversations with people, saying, "Look, you're a content creator. We're content creators. What are some of the problems that you're finding that you're facing? And finding really valuable information that way." And naturally, that involves that evolves into conversations where, hey, do you want to come and check out the platform, right? And that's something that's been really popular. Again, I mentioned that over in Montreal, they're very connected with the music scene, for example. Loads of content creators have jumped on, more are kind of following suit. And it's what we're starting to see is that turn of the snowball, effectively, where people are starting to find out about it just through general, other creators going on there and experiencing how smooth and easy it is to use. And just what we're offering effectively, people are quite excited about what's coming. Obviously, it's still in beta, as I mentioned, but the earning opportunities and everything. So people have been talking about it quite a lot. Obviously, we have socials, and we do have what we, you know, sort of top funnel content going out as well. So we've been featured quite heavily in big publications there. We actually just had an article go out on Hacker Noon. I believe there's one, or I don't want to say this out of 10. I believe Entrepreneur Magazine is another one. There's quite a few that we've got out. And we've also had quite a lot of interaction on our own content that we put on our own blog. So seems to be getting quite a lot of eyes on there, I think, because it's as simple as this. People are sick of the current status quo and they are actively looking. I mean, anytime you go onto Twitter, sorry, X, and then you have a look around, you know, you kind of can't help but trip over someone that says they're sick of the platform that they're currently on and they're looking for something else because it is such a prevalent issue. So people are actively looking and we're actively providing. So, yeah.
So I'm sure you're following that right now closely in the US. The House of Representatives passed a bill to potentially ban a certain social media platform. Yes. I'm wondering right now in recent weeks, do you find more people, I guess, that are doing research, discovering that content is out there because they're looking for something new and valuable, right? Because people are realizing that maybe some platforms are not as beneficial in terms of, you know, supporting their content. Do you find more people gravitating?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And actually not an angle I've looked at. But yeah, we have seen an uptick in people that seem to be kind of migrating to the platform and generally interacting with us and kind of asking questions about it. So that could very well be connected. I think the question itself, there's very much two sides of the camp for this, because I can understand why some people would be find that the platform we're discussing somewhat negative, you know, and I think that there are things that definitely there needs to be better rules in place for creation platforms effectively. I think we can all agree that. But I think that the concerning thing is that there's a big overstep here. We know there should not be legislation passed that bans, you know, carte blanche an entire platform in the country. That's pretty heavy stuff. But I think what it is representative of is the fact that, yes, like you say, maybe some of these platforms aren't suitable for purpose. Maybe they are a bit more exploitative and that people are looking for more genuine content. Here's a really good inroad for me to talk about, actually, one of the things that we are big champions of. I mentioned before about influencer, right? We say we don't want to influence, we want to inspire, right? What we are seeing, which kind of connects to this, is a huge return to what we call campfire skills, right? You know, campfire content. So
I've never heard that term.
Say again.
I've never heard that term.
All right. So what it is, right? So I'll explain it. So what's happening, right, is that we're seeing a decline quite rapidly in influencer-based content. So this kind of like, check this product out, do this thing, or like this kind of hype chasing, you know, like try this trend out. And it's something, again, I think it's something like 72% now of like that content is scrolled past immediately on major social media platforms. What you get with these kind of campfire content skills is a return to traditional forms of things that people are genuinely skilled at, that people want to see and hear. So singing, you know, music, dancing, cooking, storytelling. We're seeing a real resurgence in that kind of content because it is authentic content. And again, we say cast your net deep, not wide, right? It's about people engaging with audiences in genuine, like meaningful ways. And that's something that we try and foster. And this inauthenticity that seems to permeate across certain platforms, I think it is kind of leading into this sort of reaction. I don't want to say knee-jerk reaction, which was what I was going to say, because it's not knee-jerk. This has been happening over time. And we're seeing this kind of slow transition in the opposite direction.
So it's kind of like our appetites are changing in a way, right? Like evolving to look at the niche.
Yeah, yeah.
That our appetites are changing and evolving in a way, because like we all have, you know, things that we're interested in, niches. I mean, like I follow a lot of like foodie type of, you know, social media pages, right? To learn how to like make something, you know, new to eat. But, you know, for me, that makes sense, right? Because I feel like a lot of the people that I've been following lately obviously tend to gravitate towards having, you know, like a skill, something that I could learn from.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. And that's it. But the thing is as well, for yourself, Eric, like you've chosen to kind of interact with that content. Now, whilst to a certain degree, you can effectively like warm an account. So you can go in and you can look at certain content that you want to see. And over time, the algorithm is going to go, okay, well, you want to see this type of content. So you'll be shown more of that type of content. But for the most part, you have no control, particularly in like doom scrolling. Like you have no control really over what you're going to see. You have no idea. And particularly on some platforms, as we know, this is more damaging than on other platforms, right? Where you might be seeing content that potentially you don't want to see. With something like content, for example, you because of the subscription-based side, where there is a free streaming side to it as well, you are actively searching for yourself proactively for the content that you want to see. And then that is all that you are going to see. And you're going to see people who are, new upcoming voices in there, established voices in that niche. You're going to see high quality content. That's the other thing, high quality content, which again, you are seeing, or we have seen, a bit of a dip in the quality in content because it's just about get as much out as you can rather than take it slow and produce something high quality. So we are seeing, that as well. And so you're going to go somewhere where you're going to interact with high quality content. Again, it's that kind of touching back on the points of authenticity, which has been kind of a bit scant recently.
Stuart, I want to thank you for joining us on this episode.
You're
And
welcome.
thank you,
Thanks.
honestly, for the support that you're giving to these content creators, to programs like this, to guys like myself, right? I'd love to have you on the show in the near future because I want to see how this develops, how it grows. If you want to
Thank
leave, I
you.
don't know if you want to add anything else that maybe we may have not touched
Yeah,
on.
no, of course. No, I'll plug. No, just if people want to check out content.io without the E, just come and check out the beta, jump on board, test it out, give us some feedback. We love feedback. We are genuinely trying to help creators here. There's so many things that we could talk about. For example, NFT minting that I haven't even mentioned it, where it's you can earn royalties in perpetuity for the life. And it protects your content as well. We've got so many avenues in place where we are trying to support and protect content creators, and I think it is something that is sorely needed. And we call it the content revolution for a reason. So we'd like people to check it out.
It's the way of the future.
It is. Eric, thank you so
Thank you,
much for your
Stuart.
time as well. I really appreciate this conversation. It's been great.
That's a wrap for today's episode. If you've benefited from what you've learned today, feel free to leave us a review on iTunes. You can also find all our past and future episodes on YouTube and Spotify under Brains Bite Back. And if you'd like to connect with us directly, you can always reach out to us by email at info@sociable.co. Remember, your feedback helps us grow. We welcome it. We appreciate you joining us. Until next time.